This is Adam from Hampton, Virginia, and this Ivy Indy podcast is brought to you by Patreon supporters like me. Go Cubs!
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the IVMP podcast. This is a very important and significant episode for us, and it's not just because the Cubs clinched the National League Central Division since our last episode. I'll share more in a few seconds, but on this episode, we will celebrate the division crown. Not that we had anything to do with it, but we can still enjoy it. We will talk about the historical significance of this accomplishment. We'll talk about the next 2 weeks of Cubs baseball and how we're individually preparing for the postseason. We'll look at injuries to see how the roster is shaping up for the postseason. We have a listener question, a scary stat, internet muscle flexes, and then an appearance by the queen of Cubs Twitter. I'm not sure who gave her that title, but I've seen multiple people call her that. So we've got a fun episode ahead of us. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
All right, a few housekeeping items before we get started here. I mentioned that this is a big episode for us, and that's because at some point Monday morning, fairly early Monday morning, our podcast will be downloaded for the 1 millionth time. And it may have been you if you're listening right now. No one will ever know who was number 1 million.
That's too bad, because you should get like a pick me up bouquet or something.
I know.
If you're the 1 millionth downloader.
Yeah, you're one in a million, guys and gals. congrats on the million downloads, fellas. I guess we accomplished something.
It's incredible, but yeah. I still can't grasp a million.
Yeah, so check this out. A million.
I've never grasped a million in my life.
A million, and I looked today, and we've been downloaded in 167 different countries.
And that's not enough. Other remaining countries, pick it up.
I didn't know there were that many countries either.
I know, and I didn't know there were that many. Like, I just picture like people downloading in countries where like they don't speak English, and I wonder what this is. Let's just give it a listen.
But we're so emotive that they get a sense of the narrative through the rise and fall of our sonorous voices.
But I'm such a podcast addict. I could kind of see myself listening to podcasts in other languages for some reason, just by myself subscribing.
On 2x speed, though.
It doesn't matter. I can't understand it. But I don't know. It's just insane. And we're seriously humbled that you listen to our silly conversations. So thanks for helping us get to that mark. We're pretty blown away by it. So I was just thinking recently that I don't do a very good job of selling our t-shirts and hoodies. So I hardly ever mention it. So if you want some Ivy Envy gear to sport during the playoffs, you can go to ivyenvy.com/store. And since we are kind of excited about the million download thing, how about 20% off by using the coupon code million, all in caps, MILLION, and that will get you a t-shirt for $12. And I really like the t-shirts. We had a nice little t-shirt discussion here before we recorded. But for the live viewers, don't try it yet, because we haven't, I haven't put that coupon code in there yet.
Don't even try it. I see you trying it.
Don't do it yet.
Wait
until I can get that coupon thing in there. Yeah.
Not until we get the real debt to the million.
right. It's not that coupon code is not activated until the millionth one comes through.
You got a little ticker up in the corner. You can't see it, but
right. I'll tell you, I really like these shirts. I'm wearing one right now, and I've had mine for like 2 years. I've worn it quite a bit, and it shows like no signs of wear. It's a quality shirt. So get one for $12 at ivmv.com/store. Another thing, if you're in the Quad Cities and you're watching the live broadcast right now, I'll be on channel 8 at 10:30 PM tonight, Sunday night, to talk about the Cubs. And if you're outside of the Quad Cities or listening later, I'll probably share the link to the the archive of it on our Facebook and Twitter and everything if you're interested. And lastly, this Wednesday night is our live podcast recording at the Market Grill in the Hy-Vee in Moline on John Deere Road. So if you're in the Quad Cities or surrounding areas, or if you want a little road trip, then we will be there. We'll be recording an episode and watching the Cubs game. So come hang out with us. It starts at 6:30.
If nothing else, if you're in the market for a grill, come on in. There's some nice jewel encrusted ones.
And get your Mama Basso's pizza that are on sale and with 2 cents fuel savers.
I guarantee you I'll be picking up a few items after the broadcast.
All right, Kurt. So for the last month or two, we've been checking in with you to see where we are in the hunt for the playoffs. And with the division crown clinched, I thought this might be a good time to kind of look at the historical significance of this season.
Yeah, this was kind of an interesting one to go back and dig through the archives on. And I even didn't realize it was quite as historic as it was. And so right now they sit at a 6.31 winning percentage versus 94 and 55. And so let's just kind of, for the sake of discussion, we'll assume that they're going to carry that out at 6.31 winning percentage. And so they've obviously won the division for just the sixth time, which is a little surprising. And that includes when the divisions were established in 1969, when there was just East and West. And then, of course, in, was it 90, what's the 84 when they expanded again. So they've just won six division titles. And so this is their 18th playoff appearance since 1903. So we all know the Cubs have had some struggles. So just 18 playoff appearances that time. And to give you some perspective, the Cardinals have been to the playoffs 13 times since 1996. So if they make it this year, it'd be 14. So
thanks for that,
Kurt. I don't think any of us need to hear that. But so there's the kind of like, maybe that, you know, there's comparing yourselves with what we don't need to be compared to. And now here's the better stuff.
But that's what the Cubs are trying to do now. Like they're trying to get on a run like that now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And so here's the stuff that kind of like, well, first some more perspective stuff, but so at 6.31 winning percentage, they'd end with 102 wins, and that would be the most wins since their 1910 season when they won 104. And back then they didn't play as many games, but still they that's pretty amazing. The last time they had a winning percentage over 600 was 1904. Oh, I'm sorry. That was 07, and then before that, or 08, and then before that 1945. 1935 was the last time they won 100, and they were 100 even that year. And then also looking at what they've done last year and this year combined, the last time they won 90 in back-to-back seasons was 1929 and 1930. And we've talked a lot about how this team is built to be good for a while. And so we've seen two seasons of it, and there's a lot more after this. I don't think we need to look ahead too much, but, you know, the tides are changing. Like, you know, the 20 years without doing anything, those days are over, and they're going to be good for a while. And let's just hope they continue this trend to the postseason.
Yeah. And so they're the magic number to clinch home field advantage. Did you say that, Kurt?
I didn't, but no. I think it's like six.
I think it's, we should know this. I think it's eight, but I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's eight though, because I believe the Nationals lost today. So I think before today it was nine. So I think it's down to eight. So yeah, that is a race with the Nationals, and there's what I think, 13 or 14 games left. Yeah. So I would say unless things kind of go downhill here, which I mean, in a way, like it wouldn't surprise me for that to tighten up a little bit just because the Nationals would probably like to do everything they can to steal that away. And the Cubs are probably thinking rest for a lot of the starters. But I'm seeing in the chat that they think it's seven. We really shouldn't know that. I guess one of the reasons that I'm not really paying that much attention to the home field advantage is because I think it's I think the Cubs shouldn't have any problem clinching that. So, which is important, I think it's important for you know, on the field play, but I think it's also pretty important for the fans to have that home field advantage. And at least through, you know, up to the World Series at that point, the AL will get the home field advantage. But, and speaking of, you know, playoff tickets and thinking ahead and everything, you have until Wednesday to go to Cubs.com/postseason to get your name in the lottery for the NLDS tickets. And if you're not selected, you could still be selected for the NLCS or the World Series. So get your name in there. Tickets on the secondary market will be absolutely ridiculous. And it's really nice. We can speak to this. It's really nice to get playoff tickets at face value. That's kind of a gift in and of itself. And if you're not able to make it to the game, say, you know, if you don't think you're going to be able to make it, you know, I would still get in the lottery because you could sell them on the secondary market, or you could think about these fine guys behind the microphones right now that have dedicated 8 years of providing you with the most marginal analysis of the Cubs you could expect. And I would, I would gladly,
so fun.
Yeah, I would gladly pay face value for tickets. And I was also thinking, like, if you get tickets and you plan to go and you think, boy, I'd sure like to sit with that Andy guy. He's a real character. I think I speak for Andy and Kurt by saying that the three of us would love to take in a playoff game with you. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, get four tickets and you can sit with all three of us.
That's all the begging I'm going to do. I just had to plant those seeds just in case. But speaking of trying to find tickets, if you want to go to any of the remaining Cubs games or other sporting events or concerts, or if you're loaded and you have the funds to buy Cubs playoff tickets, the first place you should go is SeatGeek. And I just got tickets for Tuesday night's Cubs-Reds game, and the first place I went was SeatGeek. I've got the app on my phone. It's super easy, and everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. They do all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal possible, and SeatGeek does all the work, and they save you time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You will immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, since you listen to our podcast, you get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, download the go to the settings tab and tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVY, IVY in all capital letters, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. One thing I wanted to ask you guys, this is something that I was asked tonight on Channel 8, was kind of like what I thought about how the Cubs clinched. With, you know, he said that he didn't really consider it. Corey Cuffler had me on. He's a Cardinals fan, but he said he didn't really consider it to be backing into the playoffs simply because
I hope he said that. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Cardinals fan, and he was like, yeah, I've heard people say that, but I'm not gonna say that's what happened, because you don't back in with a 17 game lead.
I think Madden's quote kind of sums it up, and I'm just going off memory here, but he said something about 93 wins on September, fill in the date, is not backing into anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, 94 wins as they sit today, and with 13 games left, I totally agree. There's no backing into anything that happened to lose that day, and that's just what happened. That's
even people saying it last year not irritated in. Me. Like, yeah, it's math not backing in. And even last year when people would say that really bothered me. I mean, backing into the playoffs is like winning 80 some games, maybe. You know,
or backing into the playoffs would be like winning, you know, in the last month going like 7-20 and, you know, but building up a lead early in the season and then just kind of like, you know, backing into the playoffs because you kind of fell apart in September. So that's what I would consider backing into the playoffs, not like happening to lose the game where you could have clinched, but, you know, I thought it was kind of a bummer. I mean, for the second year in a row, the Cubs clinched a playoff win without winning a game. And it kind of felt like with the Brewers coming to town, the Cubs would get to control their own destiny and let a win put them in. That was Thursday night. So I went to Duffy's with Michael, and man, that Duffy's group, they were ready for it. There was a lady there. I got a kick out of her because she rooted for everyone with just their initials, which, you know, I've heard KB. I've heard that. I'd never really heard Anthony Rizzo referred to as AR. And so she was like, come on, AR. And then my favorite was BZ for Ben Zobrist. Let's go, BZ.
Oh, that's weird.
I like it, though. It's good stuff.
I love Duffy so much. But, you know, I kind of felt like it was all kind of made up for by the walk-off on Friday. And remember last year, they celebrated on the field after a loss to the Pirates, a loss in which they got dominated by Liriano. We were at that game, and stupidly, we didn't stick around for the celebration because I don't think we really expected there to be one. So at least the Cubs won on the day that they would be doing their celebrating. And I kind of felt like after winning in walk-off fashion, that it felt fairly normal. Even though it had already been clinched the night before, I thought that was like kind of fitting that they got to celebrate a walk-off and it just kind of carry over into, you know, just celebrating the season as a whole.
Right. The walk-off made it feel almost as organic as it would have been had they won
right.
the game the night before. Yeah. So it was as close as we were going to get at that point to it feeling like a natural celebration. Yeah. But but it is natural. I mean, that they're thrilled to be where they're at, and it shows. I mean, it's not like they have to force any emotion or anything like that, but still, like, had they won in the Thursday night game, I would have liked to have seen that, you know, given the fact that they didn't do it last year.
Yeah, and especially because it looked like Thursday night they could do it with a walk-off. So that's what I was getting excited about, was it kind of felt like in the ninth inning they would have a chance to walk it off and clinch it on their own and not rely on the Cardinals losing. But unfortunately, I didn't get to witness the Friday walk-off win and celebration. I don't know if you guys did, but so on Friday, I have like a ton of work to do. I was like swamped with work to do. And then I tried updating my phone to the new iOS, which was a total disaster. I ended up backing my phone up and then going back to iOS 9. The backup didn't work and I lost all of my pictures, all my apps, everything. And so I was so mad at myself and mad at my phone on Friday afternoon. I was like, screw it. I don't deserve apps. I don't deserve it. This is not a luxury I deserve right now. And so it wasn't until later that night that I even found out that the Cubs won the game. Because the last I saw, they were down in the eighth. I just assumed they lost. I didn't have Twitter or anything on my phone. So I was pretty shocked when I found out that they won. So then I was mad at myself for missing it because I was so frustrated with my phone. So
Go opening up Safari and typing in www.cubs.
Kurt, I was mad.
I know. That is angry, Corey.
I figured that was like the ultimate punishment for myself. You don't get to know what the Cubs did today. You don't get to look at Twitter tonight because you tried to update your iOS. You are an idiot. Oh. Oh,
man. Well, I had my dog at the vet. I had a vet appointment while the 10th inning was going on. And so right when I got it back out to the car, I turned on the radio and I basically heard the walk off at that point. So that kind of sucked.
Yeah.
While they were in the progress of winning it, he was getting crap sprayed in his nose and getting a shot.
This is the luxurious life of the Cubs podcasters.
Taylor in the chat says CF doesn't deserve apps. In the style of a Duffy's fan.
But I figure, you know what, I'm okay with missing that celebration because hopefully I get to see a few more Cubs celebrations here in the next month or 6 weeks and many more for the next handful of years to come. So I guess that would kind of make up for missing the one on Friday.
No doubt.
So another thing that I'm curious about is I am wondering what the next 2 weeks of Cubs baseball will be for you as individuals. If that question makes any sense at all.
You mean like how involved or attentive are we going to be? I mean, I guess,
are you guys all in for the rest of the year? Or are you going to take a, you know, take a deep breath and step back and kind of prepare for the chaos that will be October?
Well, I consider myself, you know, a starter. So like the Cubs, you know, I'm getting a couple of days off here. you know, the starting lineups, we're getting a lot of playing time from your Coughlins and your Listellas here. So I'm on the bench for a couple of days, probably the next couple of weeks. I'll watch for sure, but I might not sit down and watch every inning. I might just grab a few here and there, come and go, switch from TV to radio, that kind of thing.
I think KT deserves a day off.
Yeah. Yep. KT's in the ice bath.
Oh man, I'm planning on watching at least two of the Cardinals games. Gonna watch a couple of the Pirates games for sure, and the others I will be tracking / listening to on the radio, etc. And one other thing I'm just gonna be working on in general is practicing showing emotion for the postseason, because I'm not that good at just showing emotion or conveying it through my voice. So I'm going to be working on that. So I'm playoff ready.
Well, you know, when you and I went and we watched the Cubs win their first playoff series, clinch it at home at Wrigley Field for the first time ever. You seemed a little bit stunned when I got excited and gave you a hug.
I seem stunned
a little bit. You seemed a little caught off guard by my hug.
He's like, maybe the first and last time you hug me.
I think maybe aroused is a better word for it, but
oh, that's what the look on your face was.
I think I was more caught off guard by you going, "Hoop, there it is," when like you're really getting into that.
I would have never thought I would be the guy that would yell along with "Hoop, there it is." But I'll tell you what, Javi hit a home run, and the Cubs were just like really sticking it to the Cardinals. I felt like that was my way of getting in the Cardinals' head, was just to yell "Hoop, there it is," along with everybody else. It's not like I started the chant. I mean, the Cubs, you know, why do they? That is a weird thing to get the crowd to.
I don't know. I'm kind of into it.
I know.
Yes.
I would have thought it was totally...
my hand was stinging from so many high fives.
Yeah. That's something that like I would have thought was ridiculous and kind of stupid if I was watching on TV, but because I was there, I couldn't control myself. So start working on your hugs, Andy, because if the Cubs win at all, I'm going to give you a hug.
It's going to feel a lot more natural this time around.
Round two.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I need to focus on everything else in my life so that I can have the flexibility to have October be a nervous wreck. So I think like I'm kind of with you guys. Like I probably won't watch as many games on TV here for the last few weeks. I'll be there Tuesday for Tuesday's game. And then the rest, I'll probably just, you know, listen on the radio for the most part, but watch bits and pieces and watch highlights and stuff. But I kind of feel like I like emotionally need to just kind of like decompress a little bit and just kind of like prepare for October.
Still though, I hope that Madden starts getting like the entire starting unit together in a few games before they go into the little tiny hiatus between the end of the regular season and the beginning of the playoffs. And so I think that's kind of going to mirror the way that I handle it is like Kurt already hinted at. I mean, let the scrubs are in for a little while and then Big Daddy Starter is back, you know, for a few games before the little hiatus there.
Yeah, that's kind of what I see too. For like the next week or 10 days or so, just kind of give those starters some time to heal and just kind of get refreshed and rejuvenated a little bit. But I think because of that 4-day, you know, the season ends on Sunday, and I don't think the first playoff game for the Cubs will be until Friday. And so, I mean, that's a good amount of time right there. And so I don't think it's entirely necessary to give the starters a ton of time off. I think you still want them to stay fresh.
Yeah. I mean, Madden was saying today, it sounds like most of them are going to be playing a lot the rest of the way. He gave them 2 days and up to 3 days off since Thursday for the starters. And so it seems like most of the, in fact, Chris Bryant only wanted 1 day off.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to get him some like left field time and stuff too. I mean, this seems like a good time to really not only use the time to see what you have as far as bench guys and who might make the playoff roster, and see who's hot, I guess. But then also get some of these guys time at other positions that they could potentially play, you know, Bryant at first, Bryant in left, and, you know, move Javi out around a little bit. And, you know, especially, I don't know. I think that the team in general, get Contreras some more time in left field. You don't want them to do it at the most important time of the season after not doing it for a while or whatever.
Right.
I think for the rest of the time though, these last 2 weeks, I just want to see some strong outings, from the pitchers and maybe even like strong, but brief outings from the pitchers. Like I said, they're going to get some time off while they wait to see who they will face in the NLDS. But, and that's if they, in the season with the best record in the National League, they'll be playing the wild card team. But I think it would be good for pitchers, especially Arrieta and Hendricks.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I'd like to see Arrieta really get into a groove heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, but I would kind of like to see him, like, you know, maybe in if they all have two more starts, maybe like in this next one, just go like five innings, and then in the second, in the following one, then kind of like go just a normal outing. But I kind of feel like Arrieta and Hendricks would be the ones that would benefit most from rest. I don't like it. Just kind of feels like Lester and Lackey can probably, you know, just do whatever is asked of them. But I suppose like as we go through the rotation the last few times, I wouldn't mind seeing just some shorter yet effective outings.
Right there with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the bullpen guys to eat up the remaining innings.
Right.
So.
And right now you have a lot of bullpen guys. So, yeah, use them. So we've been checking in on the health of this team to Andy here for the last month or so. And I think right now we're mainly focused on Strope and in a way, Soler. So, where do we stand with those guys? How are things looking?
Yeah. Strope threw a bullpen session on Thursday, and, Madden said he looked good and Strope said he felt good. And so, he'll throw, you know, a couple more times here before they get him back into game action. But it looks like he's going to have a shot to get back into game action the last week of the regular season. So that'd be fantastic if he can get an appearance or two right before the playoffs instead of just appearing in the playoffs cold at some point, which I feel like it would be hard for the coaching staff to do with a lot of confidence if they hadn't seen him play in an actual live game sometime before that. So I think that would be key and that would be ideal for Strope.
Yeah.
Soler has a sore right side. And so before today's game, Madden described him as day to day. He had an MRI that showed no structural damage. So it sounds like it's one of those situations where he could play. But there's no reason to like really force the issue and force him into the lineup when it's not vital at the moment that he's in there.
Yeah. And especially because like, if you remember when he was injured before, out for quite a while, went to, what was he in Tennessee? I think he went to Tennessee, played pretty poorly, and then came up with the Cubs and was just like hitting the crap out of the ball.
Smoking the ball, yeah.
Right. So like it's because of, you know, I guess just that one time, that very small sample size of his ability to come back from injury and just kind of like step right back into things. I wouldn't mind seeing him. I mean, get as much time off as he needs right here, just so he can be completely healthy. Because yeah. I mean, we saw what he did in the series with the Cardinals in the playoffs. I mean, he was an absolute monster, and it would be amazing to have him playing anything close to that in the playoffs here this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we have a question here from a listener. I actually messed this up. This was supposed to be in last week's episode, and for some reason, I don't know what I did, but I messed something up. So this is from Victor in Louisiana. He said, I recently attended the Cubs-Astros series in Houston and noticed something as the game ended. At an away game, the Cubs fans stayed and sang, Go Cubs, go. The attendance looked like a 50-50 split to me. I've noticed with a lot of games on TV that there's always a large amount of Cubs fans at away games. Do you think the success of the team is having, along with bringing in the new fans, making away games not so away anymore? Our boys are extremely successful at Wrigley, but do you think that the fan attendance at away games helps the boys feel more at home? Thanks for all you do. And from way down deep south, go Cubs, spelled, you know, go like a Louisianan would.
Like an LSU.
Right. G-E-A-U-X. Go. You know, go ahead, Kurt. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say it certainly doesn't hurt. As far as helping the players feel at home, that's definitely got to feel pretty good. You know, if you're in Houston and you see everybody, you know, filling the seats with blue.
Well, yeah, and anywhere they go, I mean, there's Cubs fans everywhere, and they're going to, even when the Cubs were bad, they showed up to watch the Cubs. But I think like right now with this team, I think it's got to feel good to be at an away ballpark. For instance, when I saw the Cubs play the Reds, in I think it was in June or July, there were more Cubs fans there. And I think not only would that have to have some sort of a impact on the Cubs to kind of give them some confidence. I mean, it's got to make you feel good, but I would think it would have to be really kind of demoralizing to the other team to know that this is their home and there's more fans of the Cubs there than their own. So, and I mean, I guess it's not measurable at all. How much of an effect that really does have on the baseball teams. But I think that it can't hurt, you know.
Plus, I mean, there's bound to be some people dusting off their hoary cow, terrible t-shirts, you know, as they see the Cubs are doing well again since the Fukudome days or whatever. So there's definitely going to be some bandwagon people.
Yeah.
Well, and then plus we're in that sweet spot of, even though the Cubs aren't on WGN America anymore, adults, people our age and older, or even a little younger, grew up with them. And so, as we know, the Cubs have a huge fan base nationally. And so those people, even though they're not on WGN anymore, are still fans. And so, yeah, people who are probably live in Houston or Cubs fans are saying, oh, we got to get to the game while they're here.
Right.
Because they're so good. So that, not necessarily bandwagon people, but just, you know,
yeah,
people who are just trying to get a taste of the success this year.
Right. I mean, there's people from Chicago, from Illinois, from the Midwest, all over the country, especially in the warmer climates, you know. So Houston, I know Arizona, LA, there's a lot of Cubs fans in those areas. And so I think you see it more in those situations. But, you know, even go to a Cardinals game right now. You know, the Cubs were just down in St. Louis, and it sure looked to me like the crowd was split about 50-50. And so, you know, that's got to...
It's just hard to tell there some because the down empty in St. seats Louis. Are red.
What's that? Yeah, that's true.
I'd say it's harder to tell because the empty seats are red.
That's true, yeah. But it is fun. I mean, it is fun to be a Cubs fan and be at someone else's ballpark and to hear Go Cubs Go chanted, or Let's Go Cubbies, you know. I mean, that's kind of a fun thing. And I guess one of the things that just makes sports fun in general. So unless you're I remember going to a Cubs game at Wrigley when the Cubs were not good, like 4 years ago, and there were more Tigers. They were playing the Tigers. I took my daughter, And there were more Tigers fans there than Cubs fans. And so it was kind of troubling and kind of a bummer. And she was like, how come there's so many Tigers fans? And I was like, well, the Cubs kind of suck, sweetie. but we got to see Verlander pitch. So I guess it was worth it just to see a really good pitcher, or who was a really good pitcher anyway. All right. Kurt, you have a scary stat for us.
Yes, I do. Let me scroll down here. So yeah, I think it's kind of nice to look at some of these season stats now that we can kind of call it a wrap, even though we know we got a few games to go. But Hendricks and Lester are both 1-2 in league ERA right now. Hendricks sits at 2.06, Lester's 2.4, and the other interesting thing is Arrieta's number 8, so they've got 3 in the top 10. Hendricks and Arrieta have combined to give up just 90 earned runs and 363 innings pitched. And so that's the best, you know, some of the best. I think Syndergaard's up there too. But to give you an idea of some of the lower end, Adam Wainwright has given up 91 earned runs this year, so more than those two combined. Some other guys who've given up more are James Shields, Anibal Sanchez, David Price. So, you know, those guys are having off years, but it just kind of gives you some context of how good they have been as far as keeping guys from scoring runs. And then also, you've got the number one and number two in the National League in wins with Lester and Arrieta at 17. And then Hendricks right behind him with 15. And then Hamill has 14. So if Hamill picks up one more win, you've got your top four with 15 plus wins, which is pretty impressive, even though wins aren't a great measure. But still, it's just been an amazing year from the whole pitching staff, top to bottom.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, as we've said, there's other, you know, the offense has carried them when they needed to, and the defense has definitely backed them up. But you can't argue with how good the pitching has been. And it's really fun to see it coming from guys like Hendricks and Arrieta that, you know, we're not Arrieta, obviously, in a trade for Scott Feldman and Steve Clevenger. I mean, and Hendricks coming over in a trade for Ryan Dempster years ago. I mean, it's cool to see those two guys, especially, you know, Lester, the Cubs spent big money on. And so you kind of expect that from him. But it's pretty cool to see it come from basically just the front office having really good vision and evaluating players.
Well, and how nice is it to have Lester be your big money guy, perform this well, and two of the names I read, James Shields and David Price,
right,
were in that list of guys who've given up 90 plus earned runs and aren't paying off like Lester is.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Let's hope that this pitching can continue. Let's just hope everything can continue for the next six weeks. Let's
especially pitching in the playoffs, like, right. Just
yeah. And that's when I was on Channel 8 tonight, that's one thing he asked me, like, okay, what are you, I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but he said, what are you nervous about heading into the playoffs? And I mean, I didn't really plan to talk about this tonight, but is there anything that, like, how would you have answered that question? Because there is one thing that makes me nervous.
I don't know if there's any one thing, like one particular thing, maybe.
Well, the one thing that I told him is that it last year, I think it was a problem in the playoffs, or one of the problems they had was basically controlling the running game. And I think that I think adding Contreras and David Ross has been phenomenal, you know, with especially those snap throws to first, but the pitchers aren't very good at controlling the running game. And that kind of concerns me in a series where just a couple of runs can, like, completely swing a series. And so that's the one thing that kind of concerns me. And especially because after the playoffs last year, I think it was Theo or maybe Jed, I can't remember, but they talked about one of the things that needed to be addressed in the offseason was the pitching staff's ability to hold runners on. And I don't feel like the Cubs are in a better position than they were last year in that. So I mean, that was really the only thing that really kind of concerned me.
They're a little better position, like you said, with Contreras, but it's just hard for me to talk too much about concerns because it just, any of it feels like
right.
You're waiting for a collapse. Like, why would you be worried about the pitching? They have the best pitching staff in baseball, you know, the offensive head spot. So it's like to pinpoint a thing, I feel like I'm.
Well, but at the same time, I think pinpointing something like, oh, the pitcher's ability to control the running game just shows you how there's not a whole lot to be really that concerned about. I mean, anything can fall apart at any time, but it's not like you can say like, well, I'm not sure about this offense. You know, like that's kind of ridiculous. So that was really the only thing I could come up with. And honestly, if the offense is scoring runs, the other team running on them isn't going to matter. And when you have a defense behind pitchers like they do, they can keep runners from scoring. And I mean, okay, how about Contreras behind the plate throwing to Javi at second? Let's see how well you can steal a base, even with, you know, John Lester's fairly slow delivery and inability to throw to first base. I still feel pretty comfortable with that. So, but all right. Sorry. That was kind of off topic and I just kind of threw it at you guys. I threw you a curveball. Sorry.
It pinpoints the fact that I'm glad that, you're the one that goes on TV, not me. Cause I'd just be like, yeah, I don't know. That would be my TV interview.
And then you're like, I don't know. Can we edit that?
Can we go back? You guys got like a rewind or something.
Can I stop and think about that for a second? All right. Well, let's take a break because when we come back, we will have Lauren with us. And if you follow us or our conversations on Twitter, you probably know Lauren as at Blonde Wonk. And we first met Lauren about a year ago in St. Louis. And over the last year, we've gotten to know her pretty well, spent quite a bit of time with her. And we'll explain why we're having her come on the podcast after this break. So we'll be right back. And joining us, Blonde Wonk herself, Lauren. So, Lauren, where did this queen of Cubs Twitter come from? I mean, I'm not saying that you don't deserve it. I can't off the top of my head. I can't think of anyone else that would be more deserving, so I'm cool with it. But where did that come from?
The first and only person I can honestly think of giving me that is Thad from the Patreon group.
Oh,
he started referring me to that, and I did my favorite GIF ever, Jonathan Herrera doing the unsolicited curtain call, because I feel like that summarizes my life pretty well. the only thing I can really think of is I work at a digital agency, so being on Twitter is not like a taboo thing at work. So I'm kind of on there quite frequently. I just use a lot of GIFs and spend entirely too much time on the internet is really all I can think of on that one.
Yeah. Like any good member of Cubs Twitter does, just way too much time, way too many GIFs.
Yeah. But, I like to think I'm not, at least I'm not doing as many hot takes or, you know, when I say fire Theo, I promise I'm doing it sarcastically. I'm not actually getting my pitchfork ready.
I think your tone comes through pretty effectively usually.
I think so too, yeah.
I don't know. There's some people that don't really think that, which is surprising.
That's just Twitter.
In general, yeah. I wait 10 minutes and it changes. Then they're mad at someone else.
Right, there you go. Well, Lauren, we had you on because I think you have something that female listeners and male listeners with you know, female Cubs fans in their lives might be interested in. So why don't you talk with us about what you got there?
I actually just recently became a brand ambassador for a local company or local brand here in Cincinnati that I've been just a big fan of for quite a few years now, and I've been able to work out a deal with them. They were started out as Baseball Lacelets, and they are now a company called Game Day Feels. And these girls, it's a group of three sisters, and they started out, they make custom leather jewelry that out of the laces from baseball gloves. So I know quite a few of the, I think quite a few of the baseball, like wives and girlfriends actually have some that they feature on their Instagram. I know like Dallas Latos has one. I do believe Natalie Caesar has one, Matt Caesar's wife. Todd Frazier's wife has one. And Todd Frazier actually has a couple. But they have different things engraved on them. They're only limited by characters. So a lot of the a lot of what they have is baseball related, just because how they got started with being big fans of baseball and living here. These girls grew up in Cincinnati and big baseball town here. Granted, it's not the Cubs, but they started doing this and they started on a Kickstarter. And I think after raising a few like $20,000 or $30,000 on Kickstarter, they were able to like outgrow their space, and they're now in a huge artist studio, not too far from me. And they've expanded just from doing bracelets. They do necklaces, they do keychains, lanyards, and it's all custom. It's all custom engraved with whatever you want. I am quite frequently wearing, I know for the live people, I'm going to throw this up. I'm usually wearing at least like 4, 5, 6, or 7. I'm attempting to cover my entire arm. They've got one of my favorite collections that they have is actually the Meet Me at the Ballpark collection. And it's the geographical coordinates to all of the major league ballparks, across the country and Toronto.
So you can get one that's specific to Wrigley Field, or it's got,
I have one that's specific to, that's actually the one I have. I have one that's specific to Wrigley. I got one that is for a friend of mine that is specific to Great American. She's a big Reds fan. So if you get one to every single ballpark in the U.S. and Canada.
So do they have other ones that are like specific to the Cubs, or, I mean, I've seen other ones, or are those ones that you've like had them personalized?
Yeah, the rest of them that I have one that says root for the Cubbies. I have one that has like all the hashtags from Twitter, like fly the W, let's go, we are good. Those are all custom. Those I think are just only limited by character. You can get them on, now they have several different colors of the leather that they can do it on. They have one that is exactly Cubby blue. It matches, you know, my hair, my shirt makes me look like a walking blueberry. and it's really awesome, but they have it in pretty much every color that you can think of. And I've gotten a bunch of customized ones. The latest one I have is actually the, all four roads that encompass Wrigley Field. It's, Clark and Addison, Sheffield and Waveland.
Nice.
There's really not a whole lot of limits to what you can do. You're only really limited by characters. I think you can do up to 160 to 170.
Nice. Carrie is in the chat and she says that hers says IVMV, which is pretty awesome.
Carrie's got a sweet one. She got the white one. I did not think it was going to look that sharp, and it looks amazing. She's got some pictures on her Instagram.
Huh. I'm going to have to check that out. That's pretty cool. I didn't know about them until you said something, or I saw yours and I thought they just looked really neat. I mean, obviously with being laces of a baseball glove, it just has a nice baseball look to it. But I think at the same time, it's not like, I think these are something you could, in a subtle way, show your support of the Cubs and still look professional at work or wherever you are. So I just think they look really classy. They look pretty cool.
Yeah. And I know, Beth, Andy's wife, she has one. I gave that away as part of our, weight loss challenge for spring training to make sure I wasn't the only girl in our group. I know Beth, hers looks like 1,000 times better than mine. I've had mine for about 2 years. The only thing is they're not waterproof. Just, you know, if leather gets wet, it's just going to show the wear a little bit.
Right.
But hers looks, I mean, she's got one, I know, but they're great gifts. And they said they're actually, you know, despite the fact that I have like 4 or 5 on, I've seen guys wear them, girls wear them. It's pretty much, it's really interchangeable. And actually, Corey, I do have one for us to give away. I will throw pictures up in the Patreon group and or the Facebook page.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. How can someone win one?
Right now we're going to have through the end of the regular season. So through October 2nd, we are going to have a promo code on gamedayfields.com. If you use promo code IVY, and make any purchase of any type, you will be entered in to win a 19 inch, which is the largest one that they make. So if it's guys and girls, lacelet with the Wrigley Field coordinates on them, and it says meet me at the ballpark.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm going to buy a few I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but if someone was to order something right now, do you think they would have them by the playoffs?
Oh yeah. The promo code will be active as of when this podcast released on Monday and Monday morning, the 19th of September. And it usually maybe takes 3 to 5 days.
Oh, nice. Awesome. I think I'm going to buy some. I think my daughters and my wife would like those, and you've sold me on them. I don't know why I haven't bought any yet. Cause I mean, I've asked you about them and seen them so many times, but, I'm now motivated. I mean, and it's not just because I want to win the free one. I won't win. If I win it, I'll give it away. Don't worry. Oh, and my mother. My mom's in the chat. She wants one too. Of course. I.
Jane, I love you so much. Oh, my God. Your comments about St. Louis have just made my life recently.
So, yeah, I they look great. And, again, what's the website one more time?
GameDayFeels.com.
Yeah, and make sure you use the promo code Ivy so you can win a free one.
Yeah, promo code Ivy is going to get you in the drawing. We'll do it. We'll end up doing it between October 3rd and probably that Wednesday or Thursday. The Wednesday episode, midweek. We'll announce the winner.
Perfect. Awesome. All right, Lauren, so you shared a pretty amazing internet muscle flex with our IVMV Patreon Facebook group this week, and I thought maybe you could stick around here for the last segment to share it with us. And I'm going to actually let you finish with it because I feel like, I don't know about you guys, Andy and Kurt, but it's stronger than anything I have.
All right, so I actually have one sent in from a listener, Matt. And he sent a few, but I'm going to read this one. They kind of have the same gist of you know, the Cubs have been, the starters have been sitting lately, like yours truly. And this person says, the way the Cubs have pressed tonight in what really is still a meaningless game gives me very little confidence for the playoffs. Cubs are really letting the nerves get to them tonight.
Jeez. Dude.
Man, so people
the previous 93 wins are now meaningless.
It's amazing and, how short people's memories are.
What bums.
Yeah. Oh man. Andy, do you have one?
Sure, yeah, I have one. Pedro Strop recently posted a picture of himself with an emoji t-shirt of himself that says always to the left, you know, so he's wearing his cap to the left as he does, and his emoji is as well. And so, of course, there are some flexors on this. One flexor says, wear your hat straight. WHERE, wear your hat straight. You get paid good money to be clean shaven and wear your uniform correctly. Don't disgrace the Cubs history. That was one of my favorite parts of Cubs history. and then somebody else commented gang related.
Harambe better.
Oh man, that is great.
All of a sudden it's 1997.
I was gonna say I haven't thought about like crooked hats meaning a gang affiliation since like the early 90s. I completely forgot that was it.
He's been on record of saying something with the way his dad used to wear his hat or something like that as like a worker in a field. Something that like kept the sun out of his eyes. I can't remember
what he meant what he meant was his dad was in a gang.
Yeah.
Only on the left side. That's the crip side.
All right. So I've got one here. This one was sent by William. He sent this in. So this is a picture that Brittany Arrieta, Jake's wife, posted on Twitter. And it's a picture of Jake with their two kids. And he's like pushing them on swings. Looks like on a playground. And someone replied, is this how he gets his mind right for the big game tonight? So, you know, how dare he push his kids on a swing when he had a big game that night.
Right? Get to focus up, buddy. Doesn't help you put things in perspective.
No. When you're up by 17 games. Oh gosh.
You got to neglect your kids if you want to be a champion.
My gosh. You don't want it. He just doesn't want it. All right, Lauren, bring us home. This is a good one.
Okay. I'm going to infer that this guy was a Brewers fan on hashtag Cubs on Twitter during the, I think, Friday evening game. No, Thursday game. My bad. And he said, it's Michael Tendall on Twitter, at Michael Tendall. And he said,
oh man,
the
he got
Cubs
called out.
Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Chris Bryan. Strikes out swinging in an important situation. MVP? Not quite. Hashtag Braun for MVP. Hashtag Braun 2016.
We all know. Chris Bryan.
Chris Bryan. I mean, Christopher Bryan is not, I mean, he's not MVP material.
No.
So then there was actually a follow-up to that, Muscle Flex, and there was, so I quoted the tweet with Taylor from our Patreon group with, you know, hashtag Chris Bryan for MVP. And this lady on Twitter, Heidi, she tried to correct me in the spelling of Chris Bryant with C-H-R-I-S, Chris Bryant. So... I was like, I'm about to quit the internet, everyone.
Yeah, it's hard not to in the face of that kind of stuff.
So, yeah, strikes out swinging all the time, guys.
All right, so that does it for this episode. If you listen on Monday, just assume that you were our 1 millionth download. It's a prize that you can just hold on to. So this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have some new Patreon supporters to thank: Ben in Oklahoma City and Clint in Oklahoma City. You know, and I looked it up. These two guys live 10 blocks from each other. So I thought that was kind of bizarre. But we love our Oklahoma listeners. And then Matt in Santee, California. So thank you, Ben, Clint, and Matt. I also just realized how weird that sounded for me to say that they live 10 blocks from each other.
I looked it up. Did some extensive research.
I promise
that I'm sitting at the halfway point, 5 blocks from both of you.
Distant from their two places of residence.
Okay. Step outside. I want to talk to
Here's
you.
How I know that.
I see you.
Okay, their street addresses. Their streets are 10 blocks or 10 numbers apart. That's why I thought that. I did not open up Google Maps. I didn't look to see exactly where they live or anything. So anyway, thank you to Ben, Clint, and Matt. And Kurt ordered us some new posters. And as soon as they're ready, I will pick them up. And I will get all caught up on the rest of our Patreon perks, get everything sent out. So if you like what we do here and you want to help us keep things going by paying the podcasting bills and helping us do our live events, then go to patreon.com/IVMV. Pledging levels start at just $1 a month, and it's pocket change for you. It helps us out tremendously. Patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back with another episode, the one we're recording live at the Market Grill in the Hy-Vee on John Deere Road in Moline on Wednesday. Thank you for listening, and until Wednesday night, go Cubs.